Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, Robert Knott is going to be with us, speaking of the arts, and Linda Siegel with the day's legislative update. Right now, I would like to welcome Bill Hutchison. It is Animal Friday. It is the first Friday of the month. Woof.
Woof, Mary Charlotte. I like to think that every day is Animal Friday. I wish
every
that was
day
true.
It's not really true.
Every day is Animal Day. Today was one of those hard days because, you know, it's gloomy, a little overcast outside, and the animals were not inclined to get up. And my animals are like sleep magnets, you know, when I'm laying there and they don't want to get up. I can't escape the tractor beam of their dozing.
Not only that, but if they're anything like mine, they lie on top of you, and it's a little harder to get up.
Yes, I've had to relegate my big cat to my study at night because he sleeps about 5 o'clock. He eats in the morning, and about 5 o'clock in the morning, he understands that the quickest and most effective way to wake me up is by sleeping on my head. And he doesn't smell particularly good, and he's really big, so he's had to be banned.
So you have a new general manager, a new executive director, that is.
We do have a new executive director. She's been with us now for about 3 weeks. No, because that's a little more than 2 months, actually. She came on with us January 15th, and you may have seen the article about her in the New Mexican. Her name's Mary Martin. She comes from a pretty extensive animal welfare background. She is a self-described spay-neuter nut. And she's really, it's been so exciting to, we lost our last executive director, Dwayne Adams, who went back to Arizona, and we were flying solo for a long time without a director, and it's been very nice to have her in there and see some of the very exciting things that are happening already. Last week was National Spay Week. The Humane Society of the United States does a Spay Week every year, Spay Day, and we really just spayed the heck out of animals for about 4 days, 189 animals, about two-thirds dogs, one-third cats, all for $10 a pop, and it was fantastic. And we had Mary Martin, our new executive director, a number of our volunteers, including some very affluent volunteers and donors, in their scrubs, taking care of those animals, recovering them, and making sure they stayed really healthy. It was an amazing thing to see. It's one of those moments where I appreciate and adore my colleagues for what they actually do for animals in this community.
How much of the resistance to spaying and neutering animals is just simply the price of it versus there? I mean, I know there are sort of what you might call cultural considerations. I've heard people say it's not fair to the animal and things like that.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we spend a lot of time trying to do is identifying what the obstacles that stand in people's way for spay neuter are. It's exactly the question that you're asking. What is it that keeps people from doing it? And indeed, cost can be one of those considerations. Our spay neuter and wellness clinic in town is low cost every day, regardless of your income, because we want to eliminate the possibility of making an excuse for not doing it. Sometimes one of the things that I've come to realize is that for those of us in animal welfare who see what's going on daily, it's very clear to us that there's a problem. It's very clear to us that there's an epidemic problem. But for those who, say, just have a really cute dog that lives in their house, that epidemic, that crisis that overpopulation of animals causes in our community is kind of invisible.
It's visible, of course, to you.
Very visible to us. Very visible to us. And I think for a lot of those who get a chance to come out to the shelter and see any of the couple of hundred animals we have there at any given moment, it can become very clear that that indeed this community has an overpopulation issue. And I think if one steps back just a moment and looks at their cute little dog who is still intact, and reflect for a moment on what that indicates or what kind of issues that's going to bring down the road, it can be a very clear solution. It tells you exactly what you need to do. But anything with animals requires a little bit of extra thinking. It can't just be our hearts. It has to be our hearts in concert with our brains.
There must be some people who have a good-looking purebred dog, and they say, oh, I should breed this. I shouldn't spay or neuter it. I could make some money.
Indeed, and in Santa Fe, if you're inclined to do that, at least within the city limits, you have to have a breeder's permit. It's just flat out not legal to breed an animal in the city limits without a breeder's permit. And it's a somewhat pricey permit, which is great because if you really are going to make some money off it, that licensing permit goes into, primarily 75% of it goes into spay-neuter funds.
Now, is that the $50 dog license?
No, I can't remember what it is. I think it's, I believe it's $180, but don't quote me on that. And 75% of all licensing fees that the city collects goes right into the shelter's spay-neuter fund. We use that just for spay-neuter, and it's a huge deal for us to be able to, you know, if one is inclined to breed one's animal, which I can understand why one would do that, but let me say from the shelter perspective, it can be very frustrating to see more animals coming into the world when there are so many who are desperately in need of homes. And it's a chorus we hear all the time, right, in animal welfare, like, there's so many that need homes, how can we breed them? And it does tend to fall on deaf ears, but it's a very real consideration. It's a lot like living in an orphanage 24/7 at the shelter and praying every day that somebody comes to adopt one of these kids.
Tell us more about Mary Martin, the new director at the animal shelter. She's had quite a successful history with spay-neuter programs.
She has. One of the most recent programs she worked in was in Los Angeles doing spay-neuter there. And as you can imagine, there's a huge population in Los Angeles that is not the Hollywood set, that is people who are middle and low income who are in dire need of the kind of services that a low-cost or free spay-neuter clinic can provide. And one of the things that has been interesting working with her already is that that she has the animal foremost in mind at all times. And I'll confess that sometimes working in animal welfare, even though we see them every day, it's easy to get caught up in one's job. My job does not put me in contact with the animals throughout the day the way that some of my colleagues who work in the kennels do. And someone who has so firmly entrenched in their mind the welfare of the animal as the centermost governing principle of everything we do has been very inspiring. And indeed, we've had that in other directors, but I think that I definitely have felt very inspired by working for somebody who forces you all the time to re-examine your perspective about animal welfare. And when you do animal welfare for a long time, I'm coming up on 6 years, and I'm relatively young, so that's been a 20% of my life, more or less, that I've been doing this now. And it can be easy. We talk about animal welfare. You and I talk about it many times a year. And we believe in it, and we feel very strongly about it. But like anything that is worth thinking about or worth doing, one has to really constantly examine how you're doing it and if there are ways to do it better, if there are ways to better respond to a community that needs you.
Let's talk about some of the animals at the animal shelter that need homes.
Oh, man. We've got two dogs right now who are just the two of my favorite dogs that we've had in a long time. I spend a lot of time. I love my dogs, Chloe, Ludo. If you're listening, I apologize in advance if this hurts your feelings. But every so often I meet dogs that I think, if I didn't have the perfect pet equilibrium in my house already, this is a dog I'd like to take home. And we have two of them right now. Austin, who's a 1.5-year-old Aussie Shep husky mix. He's black and brown. He's kind of barrel-shaped. But he has the most piercing ice blue eyes that I have ever seen, and he is such a pleaser. He was up front on Wednesday when I went up front to the adoption desk to talk to some people up there, and he's sitting up there and he plops down right in front of me, you know, that way that a dog will do when they put their back to you, and then he casts his head up over his shoulder to give me this plaintive, longing look with those ice blue eyes. And I thought, don't try and work your charms on me, devil dog. I'm not taking you home.
I work at a shelter.
I can resist you. But of course, I had to run away immediately because I would not have been able to resist him if I had lingered. It would have been a nightmare. And then his girl counterpart is Bessie, who's also about 1.5 years. She's a German Shepherd mix. She's big and she's clumsy. And, you know, I kind of relate to that. It's a couple of traits that are close to my heart, and I've gotten very, very fond of her. She reminds me very much of my big dog, who is 11, when she was 1.5 years, and she was a world-class doofus, and she's gotten a lot classier over the years. I unfortunately have not.
A world-class doofus. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you heard this story, but there was, I'd gotten an email from somebody who had a picture of these two utterly adorable labs, a blonde one and a golden lab and a black lab, and it said, you know, that these people have lost their home, they have to move into an apartment, they can't take their dogs, can anyone adopt them? Apparently this email made the rounds, and somebody had forwarded it and had made the mistake of putting her phone number on it.
Yeah.
She actually had to dedicate that phone number only to an answering machine of taking calls for that dog. They got hundreds
from
all over the country. And a friend of mine said, and I was, you know,
people
hadn't checked that number.
People are activated by animals in need. It turns an on switch.
Somebody said, you should get Bill Hutchison to start a front company and just put out emails saying, you know, Fluffy here, the blue-eyed husky, belonged to a fireman who had to move into a nursing home.
That's a marvelous idea. Okay, so let me retell you the provenance of Austin, the ice blue husky. He belonged to Santa Claus, who I don't know if you know or not, but had to recently retire and turn the whole business over to his brother.
It was reindeer. It's sled dogs.
Oh yeah. Well, they put those felt antlers on them. So if you really are inclined to have a dog who is who's well suited to a jolly fat man, then Austin is the dog for you.
And won't chew up toys.
Won't chew up toys. Please note, dog may chew up toys.
What other animals do you have?
The other two are these old cats we have. As we've talked about many times, I'm a person with a busy lifestyle, so I like old lazy animals. And we have these two cats, one black, one white right now. George is the black one, and Selena's the white one. They're both eight. And eight is, that's an old cat, but it's not by any means a cat approaching the end of its life. Many, many years of good life left in these cats. But they are so fantastic, and they're both eight. One's black, one's white. How could I not become completely enamored of the yin and the yang of the eight-year-old cat?
There we have it.
We also have a number of bunnies right now, and I don't know if we have bunny fans out there listening. But
my terriers are bunny fans.
Yes, I bet they
are.
They
love bunnies.
We're not talking about favorite foods, Mary Charlotte. We're talking about companion animals, believe it or not. And house rabbits, which is what they're commonly called, make unbelievably loving pets. They are they're really amazing. I used to be kind of scared of rabbits for a long time.
Can you housebreak rabbits?
You can teach them to use a litter box.
Really?
There are toys that they will play with and chew on that you can teach them. These are the okay things and not the table legs. We have a volunteer who devotes herself to our rabbits, and I have been won over to the cause of rabbits. They are lovely, and if I didn't like dogs and cats so much, the natural enemy of the rabbit, I would be inclined to introduce a rabbit into the population of my house, because they're really lovely, and they're such strange creatures. And for those of us who are dog and cat people, as I am, it is hard to interact with a rabbit because you want to relate it to, okay, it's like a cat. No, it's more like a dog. But indeed, it is just completely and totally its own animal.
So when the KSFR Fun Drive comes up and we have the segment Cats versus Dogs, which is better? Do we have to put rabbits in? Do we have to have a special rabbit advocate?
I think that let's try and have a special rabbit advocate. Santa fans, if you are rabbit fans, if you are rabid rabbit fans, then let us know, and we will have a rabbit advocate on here.
You know, maybe we should have Robert Knott has suited up. I have a feeling he wants to add something to the.
I don't know. A lot of people don't know that Robert's when he was in the military, his nickname used to be Rabbit Knott.
It's very funny. I was a Bugs Bunny fan. That's why he says that to me. But,
is it true?
I used to own ducks when I lived in Greece. I'd like to have duck advocacy going on. Ducks
rabbit hunting. Duck hunting.
That's why I like the Daffy Duck and Donald Duck better than Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse.
Let's not hunt them. Let's live with them. They're much happier when they can be with us for a long time.
Yeah, but then we can't have them with our dogs. You know, we should have a special cat advocate, a special dog advocate, and other.
Ruff, ruff.
You know, that's how we have it.
A special other advocate. And if you vote other...
That seems
other
like
might it, win.
Because you could vote certainly for your Komodo dragon or your giant sea turtle. On our website, that's how we have it actually organized. You can find our dogs,
like
our cats, and our other.
Right. On that note, Bill Hutchison is with the Santa Fe
Hutchison.
Animal Shelter.
Bill Hutchison.
You know, I found a picture the other day that I wish I could show it on the radio of Robert's dog and my dog, with my dog sleeping full spread out in her bed and Robert's dog, Rio, sleeping on just this tiny corner of it, forced out of the comfort zone by my mean dog who's bad at sharing.
And now I wake up in the morning and Rio just takes up the whole bed. And if I try to push him off, he gets mad, like he's not ready to get up. And you're sleepy and tired, you haven't had your coffee yet, and you're like, Rio, move over. And he's like, but Rio, wait a minute. But I got to get up. No, we stay in bed, Daddy.
My dog Milk does the same thing. If you try to move him off the couch, he growls and gets really into serious fight mode. But the problem is he's just too small.
I know how it is with both Rio and Milk, though. After their first cup of coffee, they're ready to go.
They are ready to go, especially when they're doing haiku.
Milk is loku. Milk is not a dog that you want to give coffee to.
No, I think that's very true.
Coffee with Milk.
It'd be a bad idea. As always, folks can bring us up at the shelter at 983-4309 or visit all the animals on the website at www.sfhumanesociety.org. And keep your eyes peeled. We have a new website that will be debuting soon. Easier to use and more informative. Also surfable by dogs and cats, so we'll get real online.
And for those who have animals that already know how to use the computer, that will be great. And,
it will be perfect.
It might be subversive.
Exactly.
You should ask your radio listeners to raise their hands if they have dogs so we can find out how many people listening are dog owners.
How are you going to know if they've raised their hands, Robert?
I have a really good idea, Mary Charlotte. What if we get dog and cat lovers to pledge their dollars during the fun drive during our famous Dogs v. Cats? Because we can't see their hands, but we can definitely see their dollars.
That's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
I'm full of them. I got at least six more today.
I think we should do other.
Let's do other. We'll have an other advocate.
An other advocate. That's.
And we'll need to find somebody who's very other to do it.
That is so true. Bill Hutchison is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and we will see you in probably about 4 weeks. The first Friday of the month is Animal Friday.
That's right, and we'll see you at Dogs v. Cats before then.
Yes, we'll see you then.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Bye.
Bye, Robert.
We're going to take a very brief break right now. Please stay tuned. Robert Knott is obviously here with us.
Yeah, I'm here.